Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings, and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org. Rampant referrals for MSPs, part 6. As a quick recap from last time, you'll remember that the subject was all about motivation and how motivation, both internally for staff and externally for clients and suppliers, can be likened to a force to make things happen. And I used the analogy of Newton's three laws of motion to outline how people, instead of objects, require motivation to take action. And as far as external sabotage went, the dimensions were poorly considered incentives, i.e. incentives that were inappropriate or poorly matched, friction within referral programs, and that's where simplicity had been sacrificed for unnecessary complexity, supplier secrecy effect, and that's where clients want to keep their suppliers a secret so as not to lose their control or hold over that particular supply, social risk, and that's where people are worried about how referrals might reflect badly if they go wrong, lack of trust, i.e. we looked at how a lack of trust can be a barrier, and finally, and once again, we looked at how a lack of wow can simply mean that referrals aren't forthcoming. And in this section, I want to cover a subject that perhaps is a little bit more delicate than others, and that's because it involves personalities. And the fact of the matter is that companies are made of people, and people have personalities, and not all personality traits are conducive to getting more referrals. And I've personally conducted enough research with clients of MSPs to know that it's really important for them to feel appreciated and understood by their MSPs, and that doesn't always happen. And I get it, I really do. It's hard running a business, and there are times when you just want to scream. And that's you, the owner, who live and breathe your business. And on top of that, you're likely to have staff who have different motivations and different aspirations to you, as well as different personalities. So looking at the backdrop to all of this, we're in an industry which notoriously attracts people which, shall we say, could be more likely than some industries to be introverts and very technically minded, yet possibly with less social skills than other industries, such as people in the hospitality industry, like holiday reps, or the care industry, such as people like social workers. But even for the very best of people, the work itself can be challenging with high-pressure situations and demanding work hours and complex technical troubleshooting to deal with, and sometimes with very difficult clients, all of which can lead to challenges, and these can manifest ultimately as a lack of referrals. And the main culprits here are underestimating the importance of soft skills. Companies might focus on technical skills but ignore the importance of soft skills like empathy and communication and problem solving, all of which are crucial for high quality service. Number two, neglecting the emotional aspect of service. Failing to recognize and address the emotional needs and emotional responses of customers can lead to a misunderstanding of the overall service satisfaction. Number three, lack of personal connection. It's sad to say that some people simply have no personal relationship or rapport with a business or the business owner or their representatives, and that reduces loyalty and certainly reduces any inclination to refer. The next one's simply unacceptable, and that's a lack of professionalism. Unprofessional behaviour, and that can be anything from gossiping to being late or even just a shoddy appearance by staff, can significantly deter referrals. But let me focus on personality. So here's the personality traits to foster. Now, a little research that I've undertaken suggests that the main dimensions that help keep people happy and therefore promote sales and referrals are empathy, trustworthiness, enthusiasm, and likability. And those traits are widely recognized in sales training and psychology literature as being crucial. Now, I'm going to assume for a moment that your staff are technically competent and the response time is quick. Speed and competence are by far the two most important factors that my research yielded. But in terms of those personality traits I just listed, clearly that's going to involve time invested in training in terms of soft skills. However, as a whistle-stop tour here, these are the main components of each to consider. Number one, empathy. Improving empathy involves actively listening to others, understanding their feelings and their perspectives, and responding with care and with understanding. That's all very well, but it's basically about putting yourself in someone else's shoes and reacting in such a way that acknowledges their feelings. And to enhance empathy, one effective method is to engage in what's known as reflective listening. And that's where you reflect back to what the other person has just said, and it shows that you've understood what they've said. Emotional Intelligence is the name of a book by Daniel Goleman, and I'd suggest it's a good place to start, as it provides insights into understanding and managing emotions, not only in yourself, but in others too. Number two is trustworthiness. Improving trustworthiness centers on consistently being honest and crucially reliable in your actions and your communications. At its heart, it's about making promises and then keeping those promises, which builds a reputation of reliability over time. So demonstrating integrity in all your dealings, i.e. being transparent about your intentions and especially about your mistakes, and treating confidential information with respect, all of these things enhance your trustworthiness. And as I say, it's all about being congruent in your words and in your actions. So for this reason, it's important not to make promises that you can't keep. And I'm aware that can be difficult, especially for people pleasers like me. You could try reading The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey, because it provides insights into creating trust in personal and professional relationships, and it emphasizes how trust can significantly accelerate sales. Now the next one is enthusiasm, and some people have got bags of enthusiasm, don't they? And how do they do it? Well, I personally think that half the battle is ensuring that you have the right people in the right role. And that's because if people are doing something that they love, no matter what it is or how geek it is, their enthusiasm will shine through. And if you've ever been to a gaming convention or a battle reenactment event or something like that, like I have, then you'll know exactly what I mean. So how do you cultivate this in a job for someone? Well, for starters, they shouldn't see it as a job. They should see it as a career, i.e. a lifestyle choice. And boosting enthusiasm involves cultivating a positive attitude and a real passion for your work or your projects or your goals. And that can be achieved by setting challenging but doable goals, i.e. achievable goals, and celebrating the small wins that you get, and finding aspects of your work that you genuinely love or that you find meaningful. And it helps if you engage with motivational content such as podcasts or TED Talks or books. Things like that can inspire people. There's a book called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us, and that's by Daniel Pink, and it explores the roots of motivation, and it can help anyone find the ways to foster enthusiasm in themselves and again in other people too. And lastly, number four, likability, and that's obviously a hard one, especially for me, as I was more than just a bit of a geek at school. And interestingly, it's been shown in various different studies that people who are likable and popular and interestingly attractive tend to be viewed as more trustworthy and more persuasive and more influential than other people. And if you want a name for it, it's called the halo effect, and it leads people to misattribute characteristics like trustworthiness to individuals based on unrelated traits such as physical attractiveness. And it's a cognitive bias, and this bias means that the positive impression created by one aspect, such as good looks, it unduly influences perceptions in other areas without a justified reason. So all of which, once again, might be a bit of a blow for someone, especially like me, who's fat and bold and wears glasses and is a bit of an introvert at heart. So what can we do about it? Well, firstly, let's look at the things that we can control, such as a bit of self-discipline. And that means things like taking the time to turn up to work smart and tidy and well-groomed and well-dressed. It'll dramatically help. As an aside, I'm always completely mesmerized by how women can absolutely transform themselves, and I have no doubt that men are just as capable of it if we put our minds to it. Uniforms have been shown to increase trust and compliance in workplace settings too, and a clean, tidy, well-organized workspace and a clean and tidy vehicle, I would suggest, are a must, especially if those vehicles are used for site visits. At its heart, improving likability means showing a genuine interest in other people and being kind and practicing positive communication. And again, it involves active listening and smiling and being mindful of your body language to ensure that it's open and welcoming. Yet again, there's a book, it's a classic, it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and it stood the test of time. And it offers timeless advice about being more likable by showing appreciation for others, and that's things like remembering their names and encouraging people to talk about themselves, all of which are key strategies for making positive impressions and building rapport. So a simple idea for that could include putting the little details about people into the company's CRM, and that could be what their middle name is or where they went on holiday, things like that. And on a separate note, it's been shown that people respond disproportionately well to compliments and gifts. So maybe you might want to have a stock of free promotional items, i.e. useful ones, that people can give away to a person or if they're face-to-face, or they can post out if they're away. And that can be anything from screen wipes to branded chocolates. And also, in studies, people who receive compliments were twice as likely to be persuaded to undertake requests as the control group. So obviously this needs to be done carefully, because you don't want to come across as a cheesy second-hand car salesman or a TV game show host. So it needs to be done with care. My research into this suggests that the main characteristics that apparently make people more likeable, which we can control, are similarity, agreeableness, and lack of aggression. Now, showing similarity can be anything from having the same accent as someone to supporting the same football team, or even having the same birthday, or even wearing the same clothes. So I'd suggest that a little research here can pay dividends. Now, being agreeable and showing a lack of aggression is something that I guess would have to be practiced. It's certainly something I personally struggle with, especially as I find myself getting older and more grouchy. Interestingly, one particular study showed that two types of behaviour were highly relevant to likability, and those were being agentic and communal. Now, agentic behaviours are those that show confidence and dominance and are maybe even slightly boastful. And that's in line with other studies that show that so-called alpha people, i.e. dominant people, tend to instill compliance and they tend to be more popular. And please note that being popular and being likeable are not the same. Some people are very popular, but they're not nice people at all. So there is a distinction there. Perhaps a better example is communal behaviour. Communal behaviours include being polite and warm and friendly and benevolent, i.e. being kind to people. Now, all of these skills and behaviours might not come naturally to some people, including myself. So I guess what I'm saying is that perhaps some time invested here in training in soft skills would be time well spent. In my case, I've had to learn this stuff because I come from a sales background, but I'm aware that there might be a perception among support staff that soft skills are not as important as technical skills, but I strongly believe that would be a mistake. For next time, we'll be looking at communication and how that can be sabotaged, all of which also dramatically reduces referral flow. Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings, and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org.